Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, happy birthday to America today. I hope that you and your family were able to enjoy some bit of a holiday. It is a day set apart in this land to celebrate the birth of the country. And that's a good thing because we are blessed. And Scripture teaches us to recognize the ways in which we're blessed and to give thanks. So it is good to give thanks for the blessings that come with being in this land. I've got my son Clayton with me in the studio today. And before you head into the rest of your weekend festivities, I wanted him to come along and give us some biblical perspective on the balance of how we should view the gift of our citizenship and our freedoms while not falling into the other traps that the enemy sets for us. So Clayton, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me on. And I had a wonderful experience this last week speaking with a radio listener in Texas. And it was just nice to know. I enjoy doing these shows with you, but it's really nice to hear from people who are being blessed by them. So we are at a time in Americans' history where there are multiple dangers. And as you are fond of saying, Satan is a judo expert, and that means that if he can't get you off on one side, when you start to move to the right place, he'll try to pull you with your momentum so that you overcorrect and go to the wrong extreme on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And the dangers at a time like the 4th of July are on the one side to worship America, to worship our nation, to worship politicians, to worship political heroes, to worship even historical heroes. Certainly can see in so many broken cultures ancestor worship. Mm-hmm. And there are people for whom Abraham Lincoln or Robert E. Lee or George Washington are held in a regard that is not just a leader of the past who you can learn from, but rather someone who's revered in a way that only God should be. And so that's on one side. And I hear plenty of warnings about that, but I do think it's appropriate to discuss. I have seen with my own eyes, not in churches you pastored, but in other churches, that I was very surprised to be in a megachurch one Sunday around the 4th of July, and the absolute worship of the United States of America instead of Jesus that took place. It was not something I was familiar with, and it was surprising, and it was disappointing. That does happen. What happens more often today is people who are ingrates, people who are deeply opposed to the civilization that they've been blessed to be a part of, mm-hmm. and who want to dismantle it for something that is far worse, and who have lost all moral reasoning and see Iran as somehow equivalent to the United States. Well, we both fund terrorism. That is a lie. We do not both fund terrorism. And those broken people promote a hatred of country that is alive and well within the United States. And it's disgusting. And God doesn't support it, and the Bible doesn't support it. It's not the way we're to live as citizens of this nation. So what is the middle way? What is the correct way? Where are we supposed to be? And the first piece to think about, I think, overall, is we're supposed to live with gratitude, speaking the truth in love. The United States was not founded by atheists, no matter what rewritten history you see from leftist wackos. It was founded mostly by godly Christian men who desired to create a structure that recognized God's power and prevented the state from growing in power such that it interfered with our ability to worship and honor God. And that is the only separation of church and state originally intended. It wasn't that the government stamps out religion. It was entirely the opposite. It was that we don't create one federal church that means that we all have to be Episcopal, or we all have to be Baptist, or we all have to be Quaker. Rather, we were allowed to worship God in different manners, and that wasn't going to be infringed upon by the state. They also knew and recognized and discussed at length the sinfulness of man, how people in power become corrupted by power, how people in the legal system can be perverted by bribes that the Old Testament talks about extensively. And so these men very prayerfully created a system where we have rule of law at a level that's not perfect. We're in a fallen world, but that is so far better than most countries in the world, where we have a system of government where dictatorship is not possible, where the consent of the governed is needed and recognized, and where we have the ability to stay engaged and to make a difference. And in the furor today of people saying, oh, are you a Christian nationalist? It is easy to ask this clarifying question. For most of these people, the answer is no. Would you like to see an America that glorifies God at the local and state and federal level? The answer is obviously yes. And if you're saying, well, no, I mean, no, I just, why I prefer the government of the Soviet Union, then you are not honoring God with your civic engagement.
Right.
Oh, well, so what, you think all laws should just reflect what God wants? Yes, I think ideally that would be the case. And I think that most people who get so outraged by that don't know the origins of the Western legal tradition and the very fact that the civilization that we're in enjoys the prosperity and rights and privileges that it does because of our Christian heritage.
Right.
All men are created equal. That is not a lesson from history. History would tell us it profoundly the opposite. All men are not created equal. The strong rule over the weak. The strong oppress and exploit the weak. And that's just how it is. Women matter. Well, in the Bible they do. They don't in history. They do not in human history. They do not in most of the world today, especially Muslim countries. Women are treated like garbage. Well, so the Bible is profoundly pro-woman? Yes, it is. It is. But the Bible also protects and cares for women in ways it doesn't provide protection and care for men. 1 Timothy 5 is an obvious example. Where does that come from? Because the Bible is the foundation for a flourishing civilization where the strong are called to provide and protect for those who are weaker, where we're called to recognize that every life matters to God, where we're called to not pervert justice, to not exploit the poor, to care for those who are in need. And again, July 4th is a wonderful time to thank God for those who died to preserve the freedoms that we very easily can take for granted, given the fact that the war on terror was not through a draft, that most people in my generational cohort and all that are younger have not served in the military, and that the existential crisis that we lived under, for me, it was the USSR and nukes being lobbed, ended when we were not even college age. So I can speak for 45 and younger. It's very easy to take for granted something that is so profound and so remarkable. The United States was created by Christians and blessed by God. Inasmuch as we followed him, blessed tremendously. And basically, people today are living with those blessings without connecting them to the source of the blessings.
Amen. And that creates a real problem, because if you look at Romans 1, God is angered by folks who enjoy his blessings and refuse to acknowledge him.
Absolutely.
And that, I mean, that is a whole lot older than the United States. It is the human condition. Not to give thanks to God for what he has given to us. And everybody has reason to be thankful, no matter what we're going through. Whether you've got illness, whether you've got a financial problem, whatever it is, you can focus on that and be upset that things aren't the way you want them to be. Or in the midst of your difficulties, you can lift up your eyes and say, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm still here, that you haven't given up on me. I thank you, Lord, that I have breath, that I am able to talk with you. And the fact of the matter is God is at work in all of our circumstances in order to bless those who love him and who are the called according to his purpose. That is something that, unfortunately, a whole lot of people fail to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And if we do not recognize, if you just, I have often wished as I've traveled to various parts of the world that I could bring certain individuals, yes, certain politicians,
amen,
with me.
Amen.
Anybody who thinks that socialism is a good thing is ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say willfully ignorant, because socialism, true socialism, does not work. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean that capitalism is perfect? No, anything can be perverted and distorted by sinful humans. But capitalism actually benefits the poor.
Yes.
In a way that socialism cannot. Socialism offers the promise of elevating the position of the poor people. But what it does is ultimately to bankrupt folks. Years ago, a famous Christian sociologist, author, and speaker who shall remain nameless came to speak at Gordon College, where I had been a student. And this was, I think, the year after I graduated, but I definitely heard about it. He came and he told the students in a whole, you know, student-wide convocation, he said, the problems in the world today are too great for private charity, churches, etc., to solve them. The need is so tremendous that the only source of funding that can really address these problems is the government. And so I would encourage you not to keep giving to charities, but instead to use your funds to try and influence the government and lobby the government to give the kind of massive foreign aid that is the only way of solving the problem. Well, one of the people who was there had been a prisoner of the communist Chinese for 3 years, one of those years in solitary confinement. He was the father of my best man in my wedding. And Dr. Foreman went up to this famous speaker, the famous sociologist, PhD, and he said, Dr. So-and-so, I just was really moved by what you shared, and I would like to help you. And the guy said, well, thank you. And he said, I'm sure as you travel around and do these things, you have expenses, and I'd like to help. And again, thank you. Well, how much money would you like? And he said, oh, Dr. Foreman, I don't know what to say. And he said, well, just name a number. And he said, oh, I really wouldn't, I wouldn't feel free to do that. Whatever you want to give is fine. So Foreman said, would $30,000 help you? And he said, well, that would be wonderful. So Foreman wrote out a check right there on the spot for $30,000 to this man, put the man's name on it, tore it off, handed it to the man. The man looked at it and said, thank you so much, Dr. Foreman. And Foreman said, don't mention it. Then Foreman turned and walked away several steps and then turned back and looked at this guy and said, oh, by the way, if you try to cash that check, it'll bounce sky high. And then he walked back to where the sociologist was standing, looking disoriented. And he said, what you have encouraged these young people to believe is that the way to address the world's problems is by getting government to write checks that they ultimately cannot back up. Now, this was long before the government was in the mess that it's in now, when the debt was not anything like it is now. And he said, if you encourage government to spend money it does not have and to give away money it doesn't have, you encourage a culture of dependency at home and abroad. Mm-hmm. And it will collapse. As Margaret Thatcher said, the problem with socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money. Mm-hmm. And he said, it will collapse. And he said, and when it does, the people you're trying to help are the ones who will be most impacted by it. They're the ones who will be destroyed. People like you can land on your feet. But those people who have been taught by a generation or more to depend on government checks, whether it's here in this country or whether it's overseas, those people will not have the skills for self-reliance. They will not know where to go for help. And he said, I hope I have helped you. And turned around and walked off.
That's a great story. There's data in a book by Goldman Sachs economist Dambisa Moya in a great book called Dead Aid that demonstrates decades of aid to Africa and that the countries that received the most aid did the worst. Mm-hmm. The countries that received the least aid did the best, and not because they didn't have poverty. Starting relative to one another, the countries that had aid poured in were able to prop up their dictators, prop up their corrupt regimes, have more broken legal systems, etc. And so ultimately, a big solution for a lot of people who don't appreciate America enough is just to travel.
Yes.
We have the incredible blessing of the First Amendment. I believe that blessing is only secured by the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. But we are able to criticize our government. We're able to speak freely. We are not afraid in the way that most of the world under most governments are.
Yes.
And we are able to go to court, and it's not just the rich guy always wins. That is the case in most places around the world. And if you're very successful in many places around the world, you have to keep your head down and hide your success, because mm-hmm. the people from the government will take everything you have, and they will take it for themselves if they know you're succeeding. So we live in an incredible place. Be grateful for that. Pray for others. But heaven is our home. This Amen. Is not our home. And we do have obligations to brothers and sisters around the world that are different from our obligations to people who live in our neighborhood. All of those relationships matter. But as a Christian, our hope is not in the United States of America. I am very thankful to live in the United States of America. I don't want to live anywhere else. And yet, I know that my allegiance is to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that what I celebrate on July 4th is that he's placed me in a community where I can be an engaged citizen in a wonderful government that we can hope does an increasingly better job honoring him. We're very thankful in our state to have ended the legalized murder of babies, and we hope that things like that continue and increase. Christians need to be engaged and stay engaged, not walk away or denigrate this wonderful place that we are privileged to live in.
Amen. When you look at the Old Testament and you see how Joseph was moved from being a prisoner to prime minister. And in that role, he didn't say, I'm out of here. He stayed where God had put him, recognizing increasingly as the years went by that God was the one who put him there in order ultimately to save lives. Mm-hmm. And he served in government as part of Egypt. And, you know, that's an amazing illustration of what God can do with someone who trusts him. Not that he was perfect, but that's an example of engagement. Daniel is another great example of engagement, as were his three friends. They also were among Nebuchadnezzar's advisors. But if you look at the way that in Babylon, Daniel, who had been kidnapped as a youth and made a eunuch by this pagan demon-worshipping ruler, nevertheless seized the opportunity to serve God by serving the king, and therefore made the government better and life for the citizens better. You see that, and Daniel served under three different administrations, an amazing thing. But you see that in the New Testament, when you see the way that Jesus responded to Pilate, the way that Paul used his citizenship not for self-aggrandizement, but in order to advance the gospel.
Yes.
Over and over again, we are exhorted to be good citizens. And I would say that on the 4th of July, being a good citizen includes celebrating.
Yeah.
But it also includes teaching our children and our grandchildren the good things about America, the blessings that we need to be thankful for, and teaching them about the fact that America is not perfect. And as you said, we should not be worshiping it or its leaders. We should be worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is to be worshiped.
Amen.
So if you're listening to this today, yes, happy 4th of July. But if you're saying, I don't think America is such a great place, I would submit to you, you need to look around. And if you're one of our Canadian friends, and I know we have a number of Canadian friends who listen, God bless you. I love you, eh? But if you're listening from Canada, I want you to realize the same lessons apply to you. Thank God for the blessings of being a Canadian. And recognize that there are problems in every country and in every culture and in everyone's history. There have been bad things. But then lift up your eyes. Look at the King of Kings. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. We'd love to hear from you. If you've been listening to us, we'd like to hear from you. So reach out to us. You can go to the toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, 866-41-ABIDE. You can write to us at wvr.org and click on the radio link there, and we'll be glad to respond. We want you to know that the reason Ware's Valley Ranch exists is ultimately for the glory of God.
Amen.
And the way that we serve him and glorify him is by serving people. And the particular population that we are seeking to serve is children who have a problem in the home that they didn't create. It may be that mom is battling cancer. It may be that mom was killed in a car wreck. It may be that dad went to prison and mom's working two jobs and trying to make ends meet, not able to be there to supervise the kids. It may be that the kids have been growing up with the grandparents and now the granddad has Alzheimer's or leukemia or whatever. If you know a child that's in that situation, please reach out to us, because we are happy to offer help to kids from all over. And if you say, well, I don't know a child in that situation, but if you do and I can help, yes, I'd like to be a help financially to Ware's Valley Ranch. We surely need it. We don't take any government funds. We don't borrow. And that means every day here is a miracle. Let us hear from you. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number,
866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.